Just before I do, quickly, thank you very much for staying. Thanks for coming. I just want to quickly acknowledge my collaborators. Some of my collaborators on the project who are here, starting with the row right down here, the birthday girl, line producer, Diana Warmay. Please stand up, take a bow. Hard work on the screen. Beside her, I see one of the fine researchers, Mr. Spencer Ramsey. Stand up, Spencer. All right. Moving on, we have my mother, Susan Kastner, also a researcher and the composer and performer of the closing credit song. Who else? Mike Marconato, the animator of the titles, all that great looking stuff, is here. Mike, you're here. Take a bow. Oh, he's gone. Well, take a bow anyway. There he is. Okay. No, I'm forgetting people. Who am I forgetting? Wonderful guys from Fearless, Mike Duncan, Al, Andrew.
Who am I forgetting?
At least I remembered you this time. Okay, look, things are looking up. Okay, so thank you. And yes, we had a question right here. Question was, during the year of Lehman Brothers, where did Terry and the goat lady keep their 1,000 goats? Really, starting with the hard questions. I believe they are. They have other, I want to say fish to fry. What would be the goatly metaphor equivalent? Other poison bushes to gnaw on? They moved around. There's a lot of bad bushes out there. The question is, can you tell us about the genesis of the project? I got the rules confused. The project, thank you for noting that. The project started, actually, I was inspired first to do something much more abstract about people's blind faith in their economic systems. Then the crash of 08 happened, and suddenly there was a very much more concrete and appealing to funders, framework for these kind of notions. But it's my fourth film. I try to work in the black comedy realm. It is a challenge because this is a story of disaster, of course. But very quickly, the coverage of the crash seemed to take a strangely upbeat spin as these, reflected in some of the terminology that one saw in the headlines, like unemployment and affluenza, and even now we're in a jobless recovery. Hey, how great is that? Along with that, all of these kind of peppy stories began appearing in the media, many of which you saw we went and covered. Websites like Pink Slip is the New Black, where they gave you free dry cleaning if you'd lost your job in the last. And it just sort of like, it didn't feel like such a bad thing at all, eh? It was all in our hands. We just had to be smart and clever and recessionize.
The question was, what were some of your favorite studies that were, favorite findings that you weren't able to put inside the film?
Well, it was very, it was tricky. The film went through many incarnations and titles, as documentaries often do, some of which include, some of the titles will give you an idea. Do I Hate Stalin Enough? Affluenza and Other Free Market Afflictions and Their Remarkable Cures, The Poor Rich. So there were a whole bunch, and for instance, when it was The Poor Rich, we found it's really hard getting rich people to appear on camera, so that nixed that notion. Michael Moore's film came out. Oh, yes, it was called Capitalism Works Honest for a while. Then Michael Moore's film came out, and he covered a lot of the really heartbreaking, lower-down stories very painfully well, I'd say. So between all these factors, the focus kind of narrowed. And in fact, we did wind up using quite a high proportion of the stories we filmed. There was one more prostitute in Berlin we didn't use. There was a Aston Martin dealership in Monaco. But the story I was sad to not that we shot and was in until very late cut of the film was about a food bank in the richest county in the States, in Marin County, which was largely populated by formerly upper middle class people, and particularly one former bank manager. And it was a heart-rending scene at this place. And just by the odd, way filmmaking kind of makes its own rules and you just have to figure them out and follow them, it just didn't fit in this film. So there's one.
The question was, did Canadian funding look at you sideways because this is such a global film?
I was very grateful to receive a strong support from the Canadian funding bodies, and I think that they recognize that this is, if we're going to get to the tip, it is a documentary festival, it's a POV film, And it's an essay, and my POV is that of a Canadian, and I think that is reflected in the film. In, you know, we're outsiders in a useful kind of way to look at these things, and it's great that the industry recognizes this in a broad enough sense that we as Canadian filmmakers with our distinctly Canadian point of view can go and look at the best stories, the best instances to tell our stories.
How successful and profitable were these businesses that were recessionizing?
They were actually all successful. The Hamster Hotel was booked 6 months ahead. Very big with Japanese tourists, apparently. The home sitter, the high end home sitter thing was booming. It was expanding county, and even into other states. They've got them in Connecticut and everywhere. No, these were odd. You know, as people lost their homes, they had time and furniture to home sit, luxury homes. Good news. So they were all kind of success stories, if you can call this success.
Another one I'd like to interject, and that is you're really interested in films where you interject yourself and go on a journey, a kind of satirical journey. What's attractive to you about that mode of documentary?
The question was, I think that answers the question. I'm so enamored with myself that I even have to repeat the question. I think it is, it's first of all a fun way to put a narrative arc on top of what otherwise might be a broad topic. It's a way of having fun with what otherwise may be a serious topic. And those are actually the main answers.
Join me in thanking director Jamie Caston.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying.
Please don't forget to vote.